Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 61 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Giltaka. Thanks for joining me again. So, today on the show, I got a request for some feedback. I've got a couple of questions I want to ask you. I got a couple of important updates and things that I need you guys to do. I'm going to tell you what those are in a second. I'm also going to bring Wilson on for a couple of minutes just to give you an update about the AGM and some other political stuff. And then I will have Amanda Lynn Mayhew on to talk about her show on Sportsman Channel and what the future of outdoor television is, including what the future of our show is as well. So let's get started. First thing I wanted to ask you guys is about the theme music. So in the last, I think, three episodes straight, I've used Rush's Big Money for an intro song. And I think it just fits really great. I'm a big Rush fan. And I don't know, it's I used to have a different piece of music every single time. So my question is, did you like that better? Or do you like some kind of recognizable theme for when the show starts? Obviously, if you guys have been listening for a while, you know I use Eminence Front as a closing piece of music. The thing is, I can use both the Rush song and Pete Townsend, but you know the CCFR, I can't monetize the videos. Actually, the videos on YouTube, if you're listening on YouTube, they end up getting monetized, but the artists or the people that own the rights to that music end up getting that money. So I don't really care. There's not a lot of money in YouTube anymore. And certainly at the viewership levels that we have, there's not a lot of money at stake there. I don't know, probably, maybe $60 a month or something like that. So it's not much. And I think it's really cool to have, you know, real music rather than, you know, some canned stuff that's royalty free that you've never heard before. Anyway, give me your opinion on that. So you can always reach out to us here at the podcast at podcast@firearmrights.ca. So I've had that email address kicking around for a while. I've activated it on my phone. So if you send a message to podcast@firearmrights.ca, I will get that message. So let me know what you think. You can also, if you're watching this on YouTube, you can make a comment on YouTube as well. So should I keep mixing it up on the in the intro music or just make it more identifiable by continuing with the song? I like the song, but I do like mixing it up. So anyway, I know this is serious firearm-related issues. The other thing is very urgent. So we've been getting, I guess you could say, we've been getting censored by Facebook for a while now. We haven't been censored by YouTube. But as far as Facebook censorship that we're facing, they have, they've made it so that we can no longer purchase ads. That's gone. That's been like that probably for, like, we can't boost posts or anything, probably for, I don't know, a year and a half. Apparently we're just too radical. I guess we're terrorists. So, you know, Facebook won't allow us to do that anymore. And one time we were even locked out of our account for a few hours till they got some ID from us and what have you. The last time that happened, we opened a MeWe account. And of course, it's too much work for us to be pushing content over to that MeWe account constantly. It's too much work to maintain both of them. And the thing is, yeah, we could get Hootsuite or something that replicates your posts. The problem is that nobody will be responding over there. You'll never get a hold of, you know, the CCFR over on MeWe. And it's really difficult. So what we're asking is, no matter what, you have to get on our email list, on our newsletter list. So go to firearmrights.ca. I mentioned this a couple of times, but it's super important. Go to firearmrights.ca, scroll down to the bottom, and you'll see a little form there. We're creating an actual page just to get on the newsletter. And that's important to do too. And we'll be doing a campaign to get newsletter signups, but we need you to go there. You don't have to be a member, but go there and sign up for our newsletter, because if everything goes dark, if we get kicked off of Facebook and YouTube and wherever else, if it all goes dark, there'll be no way for us to reach you and let you know what's going on. The only way that we can do that, that no one can take away from us, is that we can send you an email. and you have to opt into that. So sign up for our newsletter. We will not sell your information to anybody else. That's for sure. We also only send one email per week unless there's an absolute emergency, like our social media presence has gone dark. So that's probably the most important thing that I can ask you to do right now. Make sure that we have a way to get a hold of you. Now, the newsletter is unlike other newsletters. A lot of times you get newsletters from other organizations and it's, you know, it's like, oh, well, here's a bunch of mainstream media links, you know, and maybe a, you know, our opinion about a couple of things. You're getting the TV show sent right to you. You're getting the podcast sent right to you. You're getting any other updates sent right to you. It's there's a lot of original content in our newsletter, so it's worth getting and worth looking through. And also, if there's any kind of announcements, we're going to send those as well. Okay, so make sure that you get on that list as soon as possible. Really important. All right, we're going to switch over to Skype and talk to Wilson. Wilson.
Giltaka.
All right. We got a couple of things to talk about as quickly as we can. First thing is we're not going to have a physical AGM this year for the first time.
I know. That makes me very sad because I got to say, I love, and I know you love it too, getting with all our people face to face, shaking hands, seeing each other, you know, the infamous line from our very first AGM was, it's like all our imaginary friends are real. So I do love that. But due to the circumstances surrounding the preventative measures in an effort to stop the spread of COVID-19, yes, we will not be having an in-person AGM. So that is sad news. It was scheduled for Ottawa this year. So I was happy to be hosting everybody. But the good news is the CCFR is already miles ahead as far as technology and the use of really cool platforms is. So we already offer online virtual voting, secure voting for our members as far as directors' elections or any other matters of business within the CCFR. And what we're going to do, we already live stream it. So we are looking right now at different platforms, how we can live stream it, have the directors in the panel talking and still be able to take some questions from viewers and, of course, have, you know, a massive membership tune in. So, yeah, it is bad news, but, it's okay. We're going to get through it and we'll do something even more exciting next year.
Yeah, it's a ton of fun and it's a real party. And, that phrase, all my imaginary friends are real. That came from Facebook jail recidivist Roger King.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Originally.
Yeah. We had worked so hard that very first year that the CCFR was being built. You know, we worked so hard. And of course, we're all across the country from one end to the other. And to get everybody in one room and you see all these people on Facebook and we had been working through GoToMeeting and all these virtual tools. But to be sitting there and having a cocktail with the same people you've been working with, but now you're face to face, it was pretty cool. I mean, considering the times we're in now, it feels so far away. But mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll get there again.
So. Yeah, the first AGM was my favorite.
Me too.
Tons of fun.
Yeah. It was so fun.
It's always fun. Don't get me wrong. But anyways, so if you were looking forward to visiting Ottawa and being at the AGM, unfortunately, we're going to have to do it another way. But now here's the upside. We're going to save a pile of money. And that's those are membership dollars. And we're trying to keep this show rolling and be even better and more tools at our disposal and more resources at our disposal when people start attacking us again. So we're working incredibly diligently. You know, it's funny because when all this started coming together, I thought, maybe I can finally take some time. Maybe I'll take weekends off and evenings too. Imagine that. And I was like, no, man, I got so much stuff to do. It's ridiculous.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm watching everybody post about being bored and I'm like, no, I'm not bored at all. I'm missing the travel, but that's about it. So
Speaking of that stuff, staying busy we haven't produced our CPC candidate report cards or done any interviews like we did last time around. And, because there's some concerns about, when the leadership race is going to, whether it's going to continue or when it's going to happen or whatever. You got some information about that, correct?
Yes, that's correct. So the CPC leadership race has been put on hold due to, like, here's the thing. When they're campaigning, they're usually doing these huge events and rallies, and it's actually a really important component of a proper campaign. And of course, during the COVID-19 disaster that we're now experiencing, it's just literally impossible to do that, right? Now, mind you, they're doing emails and some social media stuff. It does not even come close to equating to running a proper campaign. So the Conservative Leadership Organizing Committee did put the race on hold. So, you know, things have slowed down a lot for those guys. However, there's actually a really cool article. I did post it yesterday on my personal wall. Maybe I'll give it a repost and freshen it up. But it's a pretty provocative titled opinion piece written by a good friend of mine. So it was written for the CBC by Corey Tenike. I don't know if you guys know who he is, but he was a very long time director of communications for Prime Minister Stephen Harper. Corey Tenike is very, has a long, robust history in the party itself, you know, a staunch conservative. And he's one of these politicos. As big of a city as we are, when it comes down to it, we're still a small town. I've known Corey for a really long time. And he wrote an op-ed, and CBC published it. Now, I almost feel like the reason they published it was just the title. It's Scheer is a Zombie Opposition Leader for the Zombie Apocalypse, which really has nothing to do with the article itself. Once you get into it, he points out a lot of really important things, and also has a few, you know, predictions about what might happen. One of those predictions is if this race stays on hold through to the fall, which is completely reasonable to expect that at this point, things are not going to return to normal in a very quick fashion, then this race will actually be, it would have been on hold longer than it was actually in play. So these candidates didn't get a chance to really campaign. He puts out some really bold predictions that perhaps you'll see Andrew Scheer re-enter the race. Perhaps the race itself will be restarted and redone, because it is imperative during these kind of political campaigns that they run a strong, bold campaign, that they're out there, you know, shaking hands and kissing babies and doing all the things you do on the campaign trail, which, of course, they are completely unable to do at this time. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, this is not, you know, coming down from the party on high. However, these are some pretty, you know, pretty bold predictions from somebody who's been around the block with the party for a very long time. So at this point, you know, I'm not exactly sure how much effort we want to put into working on this topic at this moment when we don't know if the race will continue, when it will continue, or even who the players may end up being by the time we get back around to business. So, yeah. You know, I do keep in touch with a couple of them anyways, because I'm always helping with policy and answering questions and things like that. I do have a questionnaire that I'm going to send out to them, some things like that. But yeah, I mean, our best case scenario at this point is if this race in its current state were to continue, you won't see anything until probably the November policy convention. Maybe they'll combine it and make it a leadership / policy convention. That's November. So there's no sense of urgency on doing report cards and things like that now. And in fact, it gives us, if these are going to be end up being our candidates, it gives us some more time to help them craft some really sound and effective policies. So,
well, yeah. I guess how would you put it to delicately? You know, a poorly informed firearm policy is a knife that cuts both ways, right? It gives, you know, your political opponents, even, you know, leftists, a lot of ammunition to use against you, God forbid that you are the actual candidate in a general election.
Yep.
And it can damage your reputation within the party, you know, within the party membership. So and things can change too. So God forbid, you know, a leadership race restarts in August or September. And since then, there's, you know, the Liberal Party has made moves against gun owners. And so the policy and their position on things has changed quite drastically. So anyway, We'll still keep in touch with these folks and whatnot, but I think it's a little bit still too early to make, you know, to have meaningful report cards and meaningful interviews.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to keep working with them behind the scenes, you know, answering questions, talking to them about policy and things that are palatable. But as with all files right now, things could look completely different once we come out the other side of this virus than they did before. So I wouldn't actually want any of them to put out a, you know, carved in stone policy at this point when we don't even know what's going to be happening 3 months from now. So yeah, I'd rather give it some time, continue to work with the whole team and, you know, find something that's effective for gun owners and, you know, palatable for the rest of Canadians as well. So
awesome. So you're going to be working behind the scenes. Is that quietly behind the scenes?
No. Oh no. I'm extremely loud. No, right. No, there's nothing quiet about any of my work. So
yeah. Awesome. Well, I appreciate you coming on, Tracy, and we will we'll talk again next week.
Okay, stay safe, Rod.
Hey, everybody, this is Rod from the CCFR. In 4.5 years, we've created the most sophisticated and influential firearm rights organization in Canadian history. And when I say we, I mean our team and all of you who have trusted and supported us financially and as volunteers. Together, we've produced television shows, made our presence very well known on Parliament Hill, and taken on the anti-gun establishment as never before. We are in unprecedented times in Canada and around the world. Our goal is to continue to develop the CCFR into an even more formidable organization to better fight for your right to own and use firearms when stability returns. If you can afford it, please continue to support the CCFR by keeping your membership current and/or donating. If you are unemployed, do not do these things. We are an organization with values, and family comes first. If you're in this situation and you still want to support the CCFR, do it by sharing our explainer videos, the podcast, our reports, or our TV show, which is now available for free online on the CCFR YouTube channel. We can come out of this stronger than ever. Look after yourself, your family, and your community. And thank you for supporting the CCFR in any way that works for you. All right, on the Skype, we have Amanda Lynn Mayhew, and we're glad to have her. Welcome to the show, Amanda.
Thank you. This is my first time on here. I'm pretty excited.
Awesome. I think the first thing is, I think most people have heard of you. Some people may not have. Tell us about your show on Sportsman Channel.
So the show on Sportsman Channel, which is titled That Hunting Girl, is just basically my real life adventures filmed for network television. So raised hunting and fishing. And now I teach, I mentor, I have outreach programs, and I do my own solo hunts and adventures. And we just film it all for TV. So it's pretty simple. It's just me and my life filmed for to share with the audience of Sportsman Channel.
Awesome. So obviously things have gotten a little weird in the world. We're not going to be doing season 3 of Canada Downrange because you can't do a sports shooting show if there's no sports shooting going on. We'll pick it up probably next season if everything's okay. And any word on what's going on with your show for next year?
I actually start filming next week. So I've been doing a little bit of filming kind of just on and around the farm with different ideas and stuff that I have, because my show is very diverse. It allows for many different ways. I hope that didn't go through. It allows for many different ways to capture the things that I need. And because I live on a hobby farm, that brings itself into the show as well. So yes, the next season is on. Yes, do I plan on going turkey hunting on April 25th? I sure do. I can hunt right here. I don't have to go very far from my home at all. And unless they literally shut hunting down, I don't see a reason why I wouldn't continue. There has been a couple adventures that have been rescheduled. So going to New Brunswick for the Miramichi Striper Cup has been canceled, and some other fishing adventures have been canceled in the spring or rescheduled, so to speak. But the season will continue for sure.
Well, that's awesome. And I'm glad that that can happen. For us, it's different, right? Because every episode is, you know, a big group of people getting together in the same place, right? So well, that's awesome. Yeah.
That's true. And so one of my episodes, which I do every year, is called Women's Range Day. And that particular episode has been rescheduled. It was due for Mother's Day weekend. So again, just like you guys, that one has been rescheduled for now.
Excellent. Well, I'm glad the show goes on. The current season is going to go through, I don't know when your season started. Ours started on January, basically first week of January. When did your season start?
My season started on March 30th, and it's going to be playing for the next three quarters.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So the new season will come out when?
So March 30th. Oh, the new season that I'm working on this year will come out next for March 2021.
Okay, cool. Cool.
Yeah.
Now you've done a lot of hunting, correct?
Yes, a little bit.
Okay. What was the most difficult or physically demanding hunt that you've done?
Oh my Lord. That's a hard question to answer because I've been hunting for like 40 years, Rod, and I can't, for the most recent hunt, I would say my Alberta hunt would have been the most demanding because we were dumped on by 3 to 4 feet of snow. We hunted for 10 days for elk in northern Alberta, and the majority of that time was spent outside in very cold weather, minus 34, was probably the general cold of those 10 days of hunting. And that was probably the most demanding. So what happened to me on that particular hunt was I ended up being dehydrated. And people don't think that because you're really cold when you're outside that you should be drinking. And yeah, you should be. And you don't want to drink cold drinks because you're already cold. But I ended up getting, actually, now that I'm talking about it, I ended up getting pretty sick because I was dehydrated from spending that much time outdoors and not being hydrated.
Wow. Yeah. I've never been hunting ever.
So,
what? Yeah. Yeah. I've never gone hunting, and I've had a few offers. And then, you know, guys will tell me like, okay, well, here's the plan. It's going to be great. We're going to go here. We're going to go there, blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, well, that sounds like a lot of work. And then, you know, they're like, and then if we shoot something, we got to pack it out. I'm like, I don't know. You got a helicopter or something? We can heli lift that stuff out and ourselves too. I don't know. It just doesn't sound like a lot of fun, but it's just something I never grew up with firearms or hunting or anything like that. But I'm always amazed at you know, the stuff like 10 days. And were you sleeping outside?
We had a camp set up, so we were in a camper that was outside, I guess. But yeah, okay. There was no fancy lodging or housing or anything like that. You know what you would enjoy? You would enjoy, I do an outreach program called Take Me Hunting with girls, and I take them on a grouse hunt, which is very fun, very laid back. Take about 4 or 5 people. You go for a walk, you see a grouse, you harvest it, you enjoy the adventure. And that, you don't have to pack anything out. You don't need to call a helicopter. It's pretty simple and it's lots of fun. So if you're ever interested, I'll take you.
That sounds great. How far is the walk? I'm just kidding. Okay. We'll move on. But now we're sponsors of your show, which is which is great. And you've gotten some feedback about that, and hopefully all positive.
Oh, yes. CCFR. So, oh boy, I've known about CCFR for many, many years. And I met Tracy Wilson a long time ago. And it just, always bumping heads at the different trade shows and bumping ideas and, you know, just always having conversations. So this year, getting together and showing everybody that hunting and firearms advocacy is one in the same. And when we connected this year and we threw that out there on social media, everybody in the firearms industry just lit up and was like, wow, this is such a great idea. And on the hunting side, I had a lot of questions of like, okay, wait a second, who is CCFR and what do they do? And what are they going to do for me? So it was my opportunity to be able to educate hunters who should have already known what CCFR was about, educate them on what they could do for us. And this was all while taking place with the firearms oh my God, losing my words, the new laws that were coming out. So it was great timing for us to join partnership. I think it was absolutely perfect.
Awesome. Now you do some advocacy work of your own. So, I know that, you know, we're always trying to get more female hunters out there for a variety of reasons. And you do some things to try to grow those numbers. I think you mentioned one thing already with the grouse hunt. What else do you do?
Oh boy. So I do the women's range days. I've been doing that since 2011. I do take me hunting, take me fishing, and take me off-roading. So those are just different programs that I've designed over the last couple of years following range days, because more women wanted to get out into the outdoors but didn't have a path to get there. So not having anybody in their family to teach them or not having any friends, but seeing on social media and on TV and stuff that, well, hey, that girl can do that. Why can't I do that? So that is the reason that all of that started with that. And so I absolutely, it's probably one of the most favorite things that I do all year round is being able to mentor others and seeing the looks on their faces when they harvest their first animal and, you know, shoot their first gun or be able to take their gun apart and put it back together. It's all just really awesome for me.
Yeah, that's really fun stuff. Now I think we had an episode in season two of the CCFRS Canada Downrange where you made an appearance and you did something with a girl that it was her first time shooting. I forget which event that was in, but she ended up getting a purple 22. And do you remember that?
I absolutely do. I talk to her all the time. Her name is Maya. And, she came to Bancroft Range Day last summer, so August 2019, and she was really scared. She's 12 years old. She was really nervous and scared to participate. She was there with her mom. By the end of the day, she felt more comfortable, and she was talking to me about what she learned about firearms. And she's just like, you know, what can I do with this? And I said, you know what? When you grow up, you could become an Olympic shooter. And her eyes just lit up, and she was so excited that when she went home and talked to her mom about this, her mom ended up sending me a letter about a week later describing her past and what she's been through and that she was diagnosed with PTSD at such a young age and that she was saving all her allowance money to buy this little rascal Savage 22 in purple. And I thought to myself, oh my God, I want to be able to give her that gun. I think that this is just an incredible opportunity. And at TACCON this past year, I was just kind of talking to Dean Carr from Select Shooting about, you know, what the email that I got and just kind of my plans. And he thought, well, hey, I want to get in on this too. Like, this will be really awesome. And then together with Kevin Lavoie from Bell Outdoors and Michael from Savage, we ended up coming down to the Oxford Range Day where Canada Downrange was being filmed. And I got to surprise her on the range and help her shoot the 22 Rascal that they had for her on the range. And then following that, we actually ended up giving her her very own 22 Rascal, all of us together. And we're excited to see where she goes with that.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's an awesome story. I wasn't there at that one, so I didn't know the details. But yeah, no, it made for a great story. And it's amazing. You know, I don't want to drill down too far into that story itself, into details, but it's just amazing. You know, people have anxiety about firearms or have preconceptions about our community, and they get in there and they're, you know, it's always completely different than what their first impressions were, right?
Oh, for sure. And it was a perfect example. I mean, it was the ultimate perfect example. If you were there and you could see how she walked into the first range day and how she left, and then just, you know, in a short 2 months, owning her first firearm at 12. So it was just incredible to watch the whole thing unveil.
Fantastic. So as far as like how do people reach out and check out your work, and where can they find you online?
You can find me on www.justhunt.ca, www.amandalynmayhew.com. On Instagram, it's Amanda Lynn Mayhew. On Facebook, it's Amanda Lynn Mayhew. On Twitter, it's Amanda Lynn Mayhew, but only one N because someone else has the other one. And We have an official Just Hunt account as well on Instagram and Facebook, and womenshuntingassociation.com. And there's also a Facebook and Instagram. You know what? Just Google Amanda Lynn Mayhew and you'll find me everywhere.
Awesome. And then, and your one more time, your show on Sportsman Channel.
That Hunting Girl on Sportsman Channel, and it airs 5 times a week. Mondays at 7:30 is the Eastern Standard Time is the new episode airing when the week starts.
That's awesome. Well, I really appreciate you coming on, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for having me. Oh, yeah!
Once you lose rights, it's nearly impossible to get them back. Right now, there are politicians and bureaucrats working day and night to eliminate your ability to own and use firearms in Canada. They're talking about not allowing you to keep your firearms at home and even taking away the ones you already have. It's not a joke. It's not an exaggeration. Activism is a lot of work, and most people don't have the time. But something that you can do is support the CCFR. For $40 a year, you can be a part of the hardest working firearm organization in Canada and get $5 million worth of insurance. The CCFR lobbies government and works to improve the public image of gun owners through media and educational campaigns. Protect your own ability to own and use firearms before it's too late. Go to firearmrights.ca and click Why Join. That's firearmrights.ca.
All right, that's going to do it for episode 61 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'd like to thank Amanda Lynn Mayhew for coming on and having a light, fun discussion with us. A great conversation that didn't involve any politics. So it's good to take a break from that sometime because it really wears on you. So that was a lot of fun. I do want to tell you, don't miss next week's podcast. So next week I'll have retired Ottawa Police Acting Inspector Jeff Kilcollins on the show. In fact, I recorded 2 interviews with Jeff, and they are very interesting. It's the kind of conversation with, you know, someone that's spent their entire career in policing that you won't really hear anywhere else. So it was very interesting. So don't miss that 1 week from today. Also, if you are in a situation where your financial position has not changed, you're still working, everything's okay with you, consider becoming a member of the CCFR or donating. We're trying to keep the CCFR, actually not just keep it running, but keep developing. So when we come out the other side, you know, it's the Spin Doctors for Protection from Guns have not taken a break from spewing disinformation and lies to Canadians. They did it again yesterday. Again, inaccurate, completely made up information that they've sent out there with the full cooperation of the mainstream media. So while a lot of people are on a break because of these hard times, we are not. We're still developing tools and reports and web resources. It's ongoing work. But we want to come out bigger and better and stronger to counter these anti-gun zealots. Because you know what? If COVID hasn't taken away enough from you by the end of this thing, they want to be on the other side taking away your guns. And they don't have a real reason to do it. And so anyway, we want to be there and we want to be strong. So if you can afford to do it, great. We really appreciate it. If you can't, if you're hitting hard times, don't worry about it. Because as you know here, our motto is family comes first. And we'll find a way to keep going. Okay, so do it if you can. If you can't, don't worry about it. Just help spread the links, listen to the podcast, stay in touch, get on our email list, right? Our newsletter list, super important. Don't forget to do that. Take care of yourself, stay safe, and we will see you next time.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.